Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be back with you on this virtual platform where we can connect with one another. I just give God praise for what he's done during the pandemic. We're still in a pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic, just keeping us connected. And as you go through your days and your weeks, I just want you to especially thank God for wisdom that he's given the body of Christ to continue to keep messages up that are edifying and encouraging. And this is just not for Ebenezer. This is all the saints of God, churches in our community that are striving to continue to keep that gospel out, that souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth of Christ. We were last Sunday dealing with Nehemiah, and one of the quotes from Nehemiah, he says, "I cannot come down from the wall, for I'm doing a great work." And that's where we are in this season. We got to stay on the wall and do a great work for the Lord. Because of all these things that are going on within our society, I want you to stay in prayer for the United States of America, the world as a whole. We've got our weather patterns are fluctuating, just so many things. And even as I was thinking that, so much is going through my minds. We've got members that are having procedures, others that are battling long-term diseases, but we know our God is a healer. Thank you so much for staying connected to ebcnc.com. For on there, we've got different activities. And I say activities because there are so many things within our website, especially if you download the app. You can get notifications on Mondays. We have Bible studies or special events, Tuesday noonday Bible study, Wednesday Bible study. And so we've just, the Lord has just blessed us during the week to stay encouraged in the Lord. Then, of course, on our Sundays, our 8:45 and 10:45 in-person services and our 10 o'clock online. So much again, just so that we can be encouraged in the Lord. Also, I just want to announce today that coming up the fourth Sunday in this month, September 26th, we'll be going into our revival again, our revival / homecoming. And I'm blessed. I'm thrilled to be thinking about that. We've got different speakers that will be coming in on that fourth Sunday. For our 8:45 in-person service, we'll have Dr. Noble. She'll be ministering to us. And then our 10 o'clock online, we'll have Minister Curtis Hampton. And then our 10:45 in-person service, we'll have Dr. Laverne Collins. And the theme for that whole week is changing times. Any amens? Changing times. Then on that Monday at 7 p.m., we'll have Minister Collins to come forth, and the husband of Dr. Laverne Collins, Shannon Collins, will be on that Monday night at 7 o'clock. And then Tuesday around noonday, we'll have Minister Jeanette Hampton. She has a word for us on that changing times. And then Wednesday evening around 7 o'clock, we'll have a presentation, a speaker, Minister Laverne Ray, as she just blesses our heart. And I'm just thinking about, you know, how God is using her in a special way in this season in changing times. And then Thursday, we're going to have the Cheeks. Just a wonderful testimony from Minister Dwight Cheek. And we just thank God for them coming forth together to celebrate Jesus even in changing times. So a lot that's going on. All that information will be on our website. But I want you to pray for all those speakers during the week and pray that we all be revived and encouraged. Well, I'm ready to get into the word for today, and I just want our hearts to be prepared as we think about how good our God is. See you soon.
Praise God. Good morning, people of God. I want to read to you Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Yes. Amen.
Oh God, we just thank you this morning as we come to you this morning, as we thank you. We worship you. We thank you for the small things that Pastor has reminded us of, to be able to get up this morning and to put our clothes on, be able to just move about, to have this heart beating in our chest and the blood that running warm in our veins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for something that we do just by reflex, just to be able to not only just put the food in the mouth, but have the muscle to swallow. Some people can't even swallow their food. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that our lives, our times are in your hands. Even in this season of COVID, God, you have our times in your hands. You have to say so when we're to leave this world. So we're not going to fear, but we're going to put our faith and our trust in you, God. You are our provider. For you put food on our table. You are a healer. You touch these feeble bodies, God. Cause us to move about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for having a place to come and to worship. Hallelujah. 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 There are people in this world who are trying to get to this country, can't. We have so much at our disposal. We have so much. But we give you so little. We give you so little back. You've been so good to us, God. You've given us so much, but we give it so little back to you, God. You said you are seeking for those that will worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, that our Lamb book, our names are now written in that great book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this church on this corner, for this light that shineth on the hill. Thank you, Jesus, for the word that we come to hear. Thank you, Jesus, for a pastor who preaches the word in season, out of season. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this place. We give you honor and praise, and we worship you. For our God is a sun and shield. You give grace and glory, and no good thing. No good thing which you withhold from those of us who will walk upright and keep your commandments. So let's put our hands together and give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory and honor. Because he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Lord, if I found favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert, travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything. just to see you, to behold you as my King, for your glory I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are, across the hottest desert, travel near or far, for your glory I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King, for your glory I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. Want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are.
God is so good. Any shouts of praise out there? He is so, so good. We've been in the series Distractions and Fears. I was talking to someone the other day and they were like, Pastor, thank you for going into this. It's a season that we're in the United States, America, the world. There are so many distractions and the fear because we know the enemy is stepping up. He is really lashing out. He knows that his time is short, and he's trying to throw all he can to keep the people of God in distractions and fears and the world in a turmoil. But I thank God he's still saving souls and bring them to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ and who his Son is. Our memory scripture that we have really been focusing on is 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I really want you to keep that as you're going through the week. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it's going to bless you. It's going to help you as we are up against so many things from day in and day out. Today, as we get into the scriptures, we're going to actually take a step back. If you notice within the series, oftentimes I just kind of go through a logical direction from the Old Testament. Testament and I make my way to the New Testament. But the other day, my wife and I, we were reading some scriptures together, and this scripture really popped out. And so I took a little note and I went back and I saw it. I saw distractions and fears in this section of scripture. So let's go to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers chapter 20 and the 12th verse, starting at that 12th verse. Numbers chapter 20 and 12. And while you're focusing on that, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've made. I thank you that we can rejoice and be glad in it because of your son, Jesus. I pray for those who are looking in, who doesn't know your son, Lord, that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you're raising from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know the reality of Ephesians 2 and 8, that is by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Lord, help us to navigate past these distractions and fears to fulfill that calling that you have in our lives. I thank you, God, that today that you will touch us deep down within our souls, that we be encouraged, Lord, to trust you. We just love you and we magnify you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Numbers chapter 20. And starting at that 12th verse, it reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." I want to read that again. I want you to just meditate on the thought pattern. The scriptures, number 20 and 12. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into land which I have given them." I want to speak from a subject today. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. From last time, again, we were in Nehemiah, and Nehemiah, we just saw all the distractions as he was working on that wall with the people of God, striving to get those walls back up, and the enemy was doing all that he could do to keep that great work from being done. And we talked about turn fear over to God. Today, as we step back into the book of Numbers, the time frame is about 1444 to 1405 BC, a long time span. And we pick up the children of Israel. They have come out of Egypt. And this portion of the scripture, they are in the wilderness and going around in circles. They've been there approximately 38 years from the point that we're going to deal with today, but approximately almost 40 years from them actually exiting Egypt, and we'll talk about that a little later. It is about 2.5 million people according to the census when you read the Old Testament and go through those particular scriptures. And so when they would stop and reside, they would probably take up about 2.5 square miles of people in tents as they're striving to get direction from the Lord. Let's jump quickly into this Numbers 21 as we see them almost there at the promised land, but still struggling with distractions and fears that the enemy brings forth. Numbers 20 and 1, it reads, "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there." Here's our first point. Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget where God brought you from. Now, this is a critical junction within the historical aspect of Israel. Again, they're getting ready to go into the promised land, almost there. But in this section, 38 years before, they had been here before. And so now God has caused them to go in the circle after circle after circle to get back to this point again. We cannot forget the successes of the past. Also, we can't forget our failures when we did not trust the Lord in the past, so that we can do better where we are now in the presence. God has been so good to us and so kind to us. In this 38 years from this point, about 600,000 people have died. Yeah, put your grasp that 600 people have died during this portion of the wilderness experience, all because they chose to believe the lies of the enemy. Lord has just put a lot of thoughts as I was kind of studying and going through this, and these are some tweetable moments here, or some Facebook moments, quotes. He put on my heart, he says, when we come upon the markers of past mistakes, remember them so that we don't repeat them. I want to read that to you again. When we come upon the markers of past mistakes, remember them so that we don't repeat them. We have been brought through so much within our lives. We've got to remember how good God was in bringing us through there, and where we made mistakes, let us not repeat those same mistakes. Let me show you Numbers 20 and 2. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together and against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Wow, that's heavy. Here's another point. Defeatism. Defeatism. Yeah, that's the word, defeatism. I want to define it. Defeatism is a person who expects or is excessively ready to accept failure. Yes, you know anybody like that? Our society and even Christians have been attacked with defeatism. If the enemy can't gently lead you, the Lord, I spoke to my heart the other day, he will get others to push you. Watch out for the enemy. He comes at us again. If the enemy can't gently lead you, he will get others to push you. And here we see the men of God being led of the Lord, Moses and Aaron, but we've got these other people that are supposed to be men and women of God, but the enemy has moved in the camp, and this attitude of defeatism has come upon all those that are around Moses and Aaron. The people that are there, they begin to complain, and we've seen this over and over again in this 40-year trek round in circles in the wilderness. Notice closely Numbers 23 and again, and the Moses and the people contended with Moses. This first part of the scripture is very powerful. This contention means they challenged Moses. They were challenging his authority, his leadership. Now again, it's been almost 40 years past coming out of Egypt. They've seen God use Moses. 38 years of circling around at this particular point, they've seen God use Moses and Aaron, but yet they are still challenging his authority. And then that second part of Numbers 20 and 3, it says, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. They're thinking a specific incident, but also thinking about the other brothers and sisters that had died because of unbelief, because they fell to the distractions of the enemy. They repeat that same lie of the enemy, that defeatist attitude over and over again that was passed down from their forefathers. Jesus even had to deal with this attitude of defeatism. Remember John 11:16, Jesus was letting his disciples know that Lazarus had passed away. He had to make it understand that he had been dead for 4 days. And then this statement comes up in John 11:16. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. That attitude of defeatism is all around us. And in our days and times as we're walking, we've got to make sure that the enemy is not attacking us with that, that we're not constantly looking to be defeated. Remember, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Don't stop believing. Look at Numbers 24 and 5. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. Here's a big point. Questions of doubt. Questions of doubt. So the enemy introduced that attitude of defeatism, but then he also brings with that defeatist attitude the questions. One of the subtle attacks is when we have questions of doubt. Let me show you in this Numbers 20 and 4 again. They begin to say things, "Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here?" Questions of doubt. That when we are going through our days and we start asking questions like this that tend to lean towards doubt and that God can't do it, that God is not faithful, we need to open our eyes, because that's when the enemy is coming in and trying to trip us up. Don't stop believing. And then in that Numbers 20 and 5, that first part, "And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place?" God has said, "I'm going to take you into the promised land. I'm going to take you to a place that has so many immense blessings. You're going to move into houses that you did not build." But now the enemy is in their mind and they call the place that God is taking them, the place that God is with them, an evil place. How often has the enemy attacked us with these questions of doubt? Remember Adam and Eve. Has God said? All of these questions of doubt. In order to combat the attack of the enemy, we have to remember what the Lord has already done. There ought to be some hallelujah. How he has sustained us. And the Israelites needed to remember how God fed them with manna from heaven. He rained down meat from heaven. He even was miraculous in bringing forth water over and over again in the wilderness. God placed it in my heart. He said, it may not look like what you expected, but as long as God is in it, it will be fabulous. There ought to be some hallelujahs. I'm telling you, as long as God is in it, it may not look like I thought it was going to look, but as long as my God is with us, don't stop believing. Look at Numbers 20 and 6. "So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them." This is a critical one. Pray. Yes, pray. Don't stop believing. The enemy comes in and he brings all of these things. And when we sense him, just as Moses and Aaron, we got to learn how to fall on our faces and we've got to learn how to pray. Don't forget James 5:15, "And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Moses and Aaron are praying to God because they realize the enemy is coming in and attacking, and now the belief system of the people, they're not trusting in the Lord. Be careful when you're around people that are not believing and trusting in God. It can become contagious. Look at Numbers 26, that second part, "And they fell on their faces and the glory of the Lord appeared to them." God's presence came in the midst of the camp quickly when Moses and Aaron began to pray. In times of immense distractions in our lives and fears trying to be brought upon us, we've got to learn to pray in season and out of season. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm talking about prayer where you can lift up your hands and you become focused in on God and you push back from the distractions and the fears. You're not multitasking. You're thinking about the goodness of the Lord and calling on the name of the Lord. E. Stanley Jones, a missionary and theologian, he wrote this. He says, "Prayer is aligning ourselves with the purpose of God." Prayer is aligning ourselves with the purpose of God. Don't stop believing. Look at Numbers 20 and 7. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals.' So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him." Here's another point. Do what God says. Amen. Do what God says. This is critical. When God speaks, make sure you get it right. Yes, and we've got the 66 books, that we've got God's word that has been laid out for us. When he speaks, make sure that we get it right. Remember Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. This is so important here. I want you to look closely at some scriptures. Remember, we've got to make sure that we do what God says. Numbers 27, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, God speaks to Moses. And that eighth verse, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Are you with me? Speak. In the chats and in your homes and wherever you are, just say speak or type it out. Speak to the rock before their eyes. Speak. Very, very important. About 38 years, I keep bringing that number out, at this very point around in this area, there was a deja vu moment. Yes, there was a deja vu moment. Let me show you Exodus 17:2. And therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? So we jump back 38 years before this moment. The people were complaining about the same thing. Exodus 17:3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? There is that defeatist attitude again. Exodus 17:4. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. Exodus 17:5. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. But notice this, Exodus 17:6, behold, I stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall, there it is, strike the rock, strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. This is critical as we are in the present with Moses. Remember, God says, speak to the rock. In the past 38 years before, he says, strike the rock. Missing one word can change your life.
Yes.
Missing one word can change your life. If you come up to a stop sign and you think it's a go sign, that can change your life. If you come to a sign that says turn on red, but you missed out the first part that says no turn on red, that can change your life. So many things in our lives, if you miss one word, it will mess you up. Don't stop believing. Let me show you Numbers 20:10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Here's a point. I think all of us have dealt with this. The attack of frustration and anger. The attack of frustration and anger. Any amens? If that's you, you ever been here, just put amen in the chat in your living rooms, wherever you are, just say amen. I've been here. Frustration, attack of frustration and anger. My mom used to say, he's like, you getting on my last nerve. And that's what happens so many times when distractions and fear, it presses on your last nerve and frustration and anger begins to arise. Numbers 20:10, look at that second part. He said to them, hear now, you rebels. Yes, he is finished. He is through. Moses gets angry. He is upset. He is livid. I do find this scripture challenging because we understand Numbers 12:3 gives us a character trait of Moses. Now the man Moses was very humble and more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Moses was one to be able to keep it together. We know he had some issues in the past, but here they have driven him to his last nerve. The enemy has come in with distractions and fears, but even when we're pressed up against against the wall. We cannot stop believing. The enemy can come and keep hitting us, but never forget James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Don't stop believing. The enemy will come at us and push us. Remember, if he can't lead us gently, then he's going to send somebody to push us. Please understand that God is still in the situations where you feel stressed. We've just got to turn it over to him and don't stop believing. Look at Numbers 20:11. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Whew. Here's a point. Mercy in the midst of a mess. Yes. Mercy in the midst of a mess. As we look at this scripture, there are a lot of problems that come out of this, but there's a lot of grace and mercy that we see also. Looking closely at Numbers 20:11, then Moses, he lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice. Remember, God has spoken to him. I just want you to speak to it, Moses. But the people, the enemy had come in, distractions and fear, and Moses gets caught up within himself. Frustration and anger begins to rise out of that. But even in this mess up, please see that second part. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Moses did the wrong thing. Moses didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock twice, but God still was gracious and kind and showed mercy. There ought to be some shouts of praise. How many times in our lives have we missed the word? Have we not done what God told us to do? But God still blessed us. I see somebody shouting right now, jumping around, because there have been so many times we didn't deserve to be blessed. We didn't deserve the water to come out of the rock because we did the wrong thing. But God said, let me show you my grace. Let me show you my mercy. Let me show you my kindness. Don't stop believing. Theologian MacDonald, he writes something that's very dramatic about this particular scripture. He says, the rock smitten was a type of Christ, stricken at Calvary. But Christ was only to be struck once. After his death, the Holy Spirit would be given, of which the water in verse 11 is a type. So all these things that God is telling Moses to do along with Aaron are very important because they are prophetic for the future. Campbell Morgan, he echoes this sentiment. He says, by this manifestation of anger, which, as we have said, was so very natural, the servant of God misrepresented God to the people. His failure was due to the fact that for a moment, his faith failed to reach the highest level of activity. Don't stop believing. Saints of God, we need to examine ourselves, because in the greatest moments of our lives that God wants us to use us, the enemy wants to distract us and bring fear. And we need to rise up to the level that God wants us to be, where we can trust him and that we don't stop believing, so that we don't stumble and mess up and we just actually bring down that which God has said. We never want to bring down what God has said. We want to elevate it. We want to exalt it. We want people to know around that God is faithful and he's worthy of all the praise. But I am so glad the Mississippi Mass Choir, they sung this song, which really captured what we go through so many times in our lives when we mess up and we stop believing. It says, your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. Any hallelujahs? I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. It says, thank you for saving a sinner like me, to tell the whole world salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right, but you watched over me all day and night, just as demanded that I should die. But grace and mercy said, oh no, I've already paid the price. I once was blind, but thank God I see. It was because grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Any thankful saints out there, I just want you to lift up your hands and just say, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy in the midst of my mess ups. Look at this next portion of scripture, Numbers 20:12. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hollow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Here's our final point. Consequence. Consequence. Yes, even though God has so much mercies in the midst of our mess ups, please realize that our actions and our choices, they produce consequences. Let's look closely at Numbers 20 and 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Don't stop believing. Moses and Aaron, they have a consequence to their action for not doing what God told them to do. God says, you're not going to lead them into the promised land. You're not going to lead them in the promised land. Now, I know this is challenging. You're like, they've done so much. How could God just one mess up, just say, you know what? You can't go into the promised land. Let me show you. Jesus spoke of consequences. Yes, consequences, even among his faithful servants. Luke 12:47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. This is the heavy part. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. I want to repeat that again. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Don't stop believing. Please understand, Moses and Aaron at this point, they had been committed so much. They were faithful servants of God. But because they had been elevated so much and had been used in such miraculous ways, when they chose not to do it God's ways, the consequences were very dramatic. And as the believers of God, we've got to stay in the presence of God. And we need to learn how to pray, not our will, but let God's will be done. That's why I'm so glad for a greater one than Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, great leaders, but they had their hangups and their issues. But aren't you glad for Jesus the Christ, the anointed one that came from heaven to earth to walk amongst us, the one who grew up and at the age of 30 goes in the full-blown ministry. And we can understand that he doesn't stop believing because he is the Word of God. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus walked amongst men. He healed the sick, and he even raised the dead. He is so in sync with God, believing every word. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Don't stop believing. John 5:20-21, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Yes, Jesus would go all the way to the cross of Calvary for us, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet, because he believed the Father and understood the will of the Father for us. He carries our sins and pains on that cross of Calvary. He cries out, it's finished, dies on the cross of Calvary. But I'm so glad that 3 days later he gets up with all power and all glory, because he did not stop from believing. I'm so glad today that we have a God that loves us so much by giving his Son for us. And now Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. God is doing wonderful things in this season. We've just got to trust him. Even though the enemy is attacking strong with distractions and fears, don't stop believing. I want to give you a final portion of scriptures that I pray that will encourage you, even as we're in these intense times of temptations and the enemy's hitting strong. Paul the Apostle wrote this letter of the Spirit. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, any believers out there, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that he who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. 16th verse. For the Lord himself, he's coming back, will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Don't stop believing. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Don't stop believing. Saints, I just want you to be encouraged. We are under attack, but God is still strong. He's still faithful. He's still desiring to order our steps. And we are still overcomers in him. If you're listening and viewing and you don't know Christ today, I pray today be your day, that you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, said you will be saved by his grace and his mercy. Oh, call on Jesus. He'll come into your heart in a mighty way. For the saints, I want you to be encouraged. Man, this is our season. This is our time. We can't stop believing. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for all those that you're saving right now. You're delivering and you're setting free. I thank you for the encouragement, Lord, to not stop believing. We know the enemy is all around us, Lord, but I thank you that greater is you that's in us than he that is in the world. Thank you for your very presence via your Holy Spirit that resides in the believer. God, as we go through these days and these weeks, help us to be strong in you, to be quick to pray. And we thank you, God, for your mercy in the midst of our mess ups. But most importantly, thank you that you're coming back. Lord, we're not going to stop believing. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. I'll bear your burdens if you lean on me. I'll bear your burdens, Lord, you can lean on me. I'll bear your burdens if you lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. I won't just you fall if you lean on me. Jesus said, I'll be your doctor, you can lean on me. I'll be your doctor, you can lean on me. I'll be your doctor if you lean on me. Won't let you fall, you can lean on me. Anybody leaning? Jesus said you can lean on me. Heard him when he said, lean on me. Jesus said you can lean on me. Won't let you fall. Won't let you fall. Won't let you fall. Won't let you fall. You can lean on me.